Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Profanity Nation.
Yeah, it's the new era of man for some old school fans with a new school brand. We got money on the mic with the plan in hand. And Stat Pat to his left, they go hand in hand. And to the right, we got Simpster, he putting it down. It's the Profanity Nation, we running the town. Yeah,
it's the Profanity Nation.
Profanity Nation.
Hey, welcome to the show. Welcome to the Profanity Nation podcast, where we are the voice of the professional fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for joining us like we are here live every Sunday night at 8:30 p.m.
Yes, sir.
As usual, joined by my co-host, Money Mike, on my right. How you doing, bud?
You know, I'm feeling good. Good football games on. That's only good stuff.
That's what it is. Yeah, it's not it's just not getting any better in Lakerland. Stat Pat, how you feeling?
Hey, we in this bitch. You know what's going on. Hey, look, you know what? We had a couple of this weekend was really good. I mean, you're a football fan, you gotta love the football that was happening. I mean, three games went down to the wire for field goals, and then the other one was the classic with the Bills and the Chiefs. So gotta love that. Like my man Simpson said, the Lakers are still, you know, they're still struggling right now, but AD is on the way. We'll see how that helps. Is it to the point that we got to go ahead and throw dirt on Ariza? I think it looks like he's not.
He's been here a month now. But we have plenty of time.
Yes, sir.
Let's get started. If you're new to the show, which I doubt it because you're great, but maybe so. We have new listeners and followers every week. That's true.
Yep.
So if you're new to the show, we start the show with our buddy and our guy here, Marco Nunez, professional athletic trainer. Let's bring him on right now. Hey, Marco, how you doing?
Hey.
Pretty good. Just got done watching the Chiefs and Bills game. Like you said, it was a nice little weekend with games coming down to the wire.
Yeah.
It's the way it should be, you know, competition.
Yeah, so look, Marco, you know, originally I was going to ask you about how Akers came back, you know, before time, what everybody was saying, but forget about that. Let me ask you another question about the Lakers. I want to ask you about, you know, trades, right? You know how when you trade a player, they have to pass a physical? Mm-hmm. Can we trade a hurt player? Like, you know, like if a player is hurt and somebody's interested in them, is there still a physical process or is there like an understanding when you trade a hurt player? Because I think I just want to get rid of some hurt players for some healthy players. So
bottom line, it's like if you and I were going to trade, and I hate to say this analogy, but it's like if I was going to sell your car, you and I were going to trade cars, right? I give you the rundown. You do what you need to do. You take the tires. You got to take a risk on it. And then when you want to do the trade, you do the trade. Yes. Can a team take an injured player? Yes. And they've done it before. I think several years ago, we traded away Andrew Bynum, I think, when he wasn't fully healthy.
Philadelphia.
Yeah, I remember we traded him to Philadelphia. Unfortunately, I think he played one game in Philadelphia. Then got traded to Cleveland, never played a game in Cleveland type of thing. So, yes. So, technically, can a team trade for an injured player? Yes, they can. And it's just one of the things that – when you trade the player, you put it on writing, you send the documents over, and the team is willing. So you have to disclose all the injuries that a player has, and then the team has to be willing to accept those issues. They'll do a physical, and then they decide, okay, you know what, we're willing to take the risk on the part. Same thing when you draft the player. When you draft the player, you can draft an injured player. As a team, you're going to take the risk, and if you, again, it goes back to the risk-reward. If you think the reward is higher than the risk, then you're fine. We had a player – remember there was like a small forward out of Duke several years ago, a while back ago, that was coming out of the draft, and he had a little hairline fracture in his fifth metatarsal, which could have developed into a Jones fracture, which could have probably ended his season. We took a risk on him, knock on wood. He played well, never injured that foot. He actually got traded, ended up playing with some other teams, and he had a nice little career with never, ever injuring that foot. So it's just a risk you take. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, you know, we you know, I'm just trying to look at all the options. And we got a cat that has been hurt all and
constantly.
Just
why are you saying this cat? Come on. This is the Profanity Nation. Speak up, Money Mike.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, I'm not trying to, like,
you trying
necessarily, like, like train AD or nothing.
At first it was LeBron. Now it's AD.
I'm not trying to do that.
But he's he's just about to get better. Let's get rid of him before he gets hurt again.
Who's the other guy that is it not? No, is it Nunn? Right?
Kendrick Nunn.
Yeah, Nunn. He ain't gave us like a second on the court. You know, I'm just trying to figure out what can we do. You know, where we don't necessarily have to give up our 27 pick.
Yeah, that's not happening. We put ourselves in this position here. Mm-hmm. Do you have an injury question for Marco? If not, I have an actual question.
Oh, no, I don't.
Okay, Marco, I have a question for you. Before. This is off topic from injury, but I'm just curious, and maybe our listeners are curious to know. When you're on an NBA bench and you're part of that team coaching squad, there's a protocol when fights break out. Are you part of that protocol? Are you expected to hold players back? Do you have certain players that you're responsible for? What is that protocol? I'm just really curious. That just came into my mind. I was really wondering.
Yes. So as part of being at the athletic trainer, you're part of the staff and operations. So you're kind of technically, even though you're not a coach, you're part of the coach staff because you're in that part. So our job, my job specifically, is to keep the players their safety and keep them safe as much as possible. So when a fight breaks out, immediately, most of the coaches will look up to the right side because that's what, you know, we're on the left side. They make sure that none of the players are running onto the court or step anyone on the court. Because as soon as they step on the court, they go back and look at the video, an inch, a whole foot, whatever, they're going to get fined and they're going to get suspended. Our security oftentimes rushes onto the court and kind of stops the fight. So oftentimes we'll have anywhere between 3 and 4security personnel on near the court, near the players, making sure that nobody's rushing the players. And then when the fight breaks out, they go on the part. So, yeah, we have to do our part to make sure that we keep the players on off the court, so to speak.
Excellent. Okay. So you keep the bench on the bench.
Correct.
Absolutely. Excellent. Well,
I want to ask you about, since you injury report, we were looking at that favorite, too, that happened with Caruso. And then he ended up breaking his wrist. I'm not sure if you saw the.
Yep, I did.
I'm sorry?
I saw the video.
Yeah, I saw the video, and he broke his wrist. When you see people fall, are you able to obviously you can't be 100% sure, but by the way they fall, are you saying, oh, he probably broke something because by the way he fell, or have you, or do you have to go over there and talk to him to kind of figure out or have an idea of like where they may be hurt?
Correct. So when we're sitting on the bench, like, you know, I've told people a few times here and there is that oftentimes I'm not really watching the game. I'm watching the players move up and down the court. So I'm watching their mechanics, if they fall, they get bumped or anything like that, see how they land, see if their knee buckles, see if their ankle roll type of thing. So in this case, as soon as he's going down, I'm looking to see what's making contact with the floor. Is his head making the contact with the floor first right of back? So then I'm thinking maybe possible concussion. Is the low back, is he, like I said, did he fall with an extended arm? If he falls with an extended arm right onto the thing, now you're looking possibly for a wrist issue or anything of that sort. And then second, as you're approaching the athlete, number one, first, you want to make sure that he's conscious, right? That he's moving and anything of that sort. If the player's not even moving whatsoever, then that's like red flag 911. I'm already calling the paramedics to come over. Don't even wait till I get to just start coming over this way type of thing. And then the third thing is that as we're approaching, I'm trying to see what the player is grabbing. Oftentimes when an athlete gets hurt, he or she will grab a body part, whether it's a knee, whether it's an ankle. In this case, I think he grabbed the wrist right away. He kind of clenched it and kind of the part. Do we know it's fractured right away? No, we do not, unless it's a compound fracture where the bone's kind of sticking out. Or in the case where, what's it, the kid from Boston, yeah, where the ankle's turned the other way type of thing, where the body part is dislocated, turned the other way, which is pretty obvious. Other than that, taking him back, doing extras, and kind of determining on that part, and then seeing what was going on with that. But, yeah, I mean, oftentimes, like I said, as an athletic trainer, you're just assessing the situation at all times, really. I mean, majority of the time, I really didn't know what the score was. I'm just looking at the players, see how they're moving.
That's a good point. And how often do you go back and review the video of an injury in order to determine, even after?
All the time. So that's one thing that I ended up doing when I was there, is that I sat down with their video person, right? And by the time if an injury occurred and our video person saw that I was already coming off the court with an injured player, he already knew right off the bat that he was already working on cutting that piece. By the time we got into the training room and we're evaluating, our video guy he would already come in with the, with his computer, his iPad, and already show us the video as we're progressing. Because that also, it kind of determines what we're looking at. Our doctor will look at it. We will look at it. Anybody else that we need, we'll take a look at it. So we're, that's part of the process as well. We got to look at the video to see what was the mechanics and what, you know, how did he or she get hurt.
Yeah, I would imagine that that's a priceless tool right there that most people don't have in normal athletic accidents if you're at the park and such. Right. All right, Marco. You good, Mike?
Yeah, we're good.
All right, you good?
I want to make sure we can trade some injured players.
Yeah, well, technically you can. You're just going to have to sweeten the deal even more. Yeah,
you just got to convince the other team to take them. If you can't do that, that's all you got to do.
Convince is the big part right there. Right. Thank you, Marco. Right. Please let everybody know the best way to keep up to date with what you've got going on.
Yeah, if you guys have any questions regarding the sports medicine issues, please feel free to DM me on my Instagram at MarcoANunez17 or subscribe to my YouTube channel at Evolve Athletic Performance.
All right. Thank you, Marco. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Take care. See you next week.
Take care.
All right, so that's great. Yeah, so let's get right into it, guys. We have, of course, the Caruso foul. So that's a big topic right now. That just happened. Let's just jump right on that since we were discussing it.
Yeah.
Mike, if people weren't listening, go ahead and please update them as to what took place there.
So basically there was, we were just discussing it here. Yeah. You know, Caruso was going up for, looked like it was going to be a dunk or a layup and forgot his name now.
Grayson Allen.
Grayson Allen decided that he wanted to basically make a basketball play that became a non-basketball play with the second arm and kind of had him land, you know, pretty hard. And what I didn't like about it, man, is like, I understand competition, you might be in the moment, but he was smiling about it, you know, mm-hmm. and then he ended up getting like a one game suspension.
Yeah.
You know, with that. So he got a figure or two there, then got a one game suspension. Don't really, you know, I think for some reason he should got more just because I think it's more my heart versus the rule or the guideline, simply because it seemed like it was more intentional than anything else. I mean, let me back up and say, man, I remember Kurt Rambis got clotheslined and it was a common foul. It's, you know, different. I missed those days, but right, based on today's rules, I think he should have got more than one game.
Stat Pat, you saw the foul. We actually went over it a few times. Yeah. We're trying to determine what that second swing through was for. It didn't appear to be at the head,
right?
But it was that common mistake players make that the referees are always calling. It's that follow through. Mm-hmm. He hit the hands. Now, I didn't see close enough. We don't know if the break happened on that hit, most likely on the fall, we'll assume. Did you see anything there that was dirty? Because Grayson Allen, he's not necessarily known for being the coolest player in town.
That's right. So he has a history of doing a lot of, dirty plays.
Yes.
He was doing them in college. So it wasn't that he even got – so his reputation
– more than one, more than two.
Yeah.
More than three.
Yeah. And so he comes into the league with that reputation, and he gets in – you know, we've all seen hard fouls. We know what hard fouls look like, and they usually result in a flagrant one. This one was a flagrant two. Now, when we saw it, me and you were looking at that video, he grabbed the wrist. The wrist was kind of like he pulling down on the wrist so he can pull, but it was the second, like you said, the follow through, the swipe. And when we going back and looking at it, did he hit his head? Did he hit his arm? No, it didn't look like it made contact with that. However, it almost felt like this flagrant two or this suspension is based upon intent. It was like when he swung his second one in, there was actually, when you're looking at the tape, to me, far as I'm concerned, I don't see any reason why he needs to go swing that second arm. Grab his arm, make sure it doesn't go up. He falls down, but no one's going to say that the play is dirty because mm-hmm. you grabbed the arm. Mm-hmm. Once you start swinging and trying to get whatever, a ball or something, and you're almost close to hitting him in his head, then the NBA can use discretion, and they can determine if there's intent. If they have intent, then they will go ahead and upgrade that to a flagrant two. Now, when we're talking about the flagrant, the suspension, maybe he should be a little bit more because of the fact that he has that history. Rodman and used to get
Artest
used to get suspended and
it matters
just because of history.
Yep.
So we're like, okay, in this case, why is this not being looked at the same way.
Now, Money Mike, Caruso, of course, is a Lakers fan favorite. If anyone has any comments in Clubhouse, please go ahead and tap your mics. We'd love to hear from you. We can talk about this Caruso foul here. So he's out now for weeks. And,
yeah, 6 to 8.
And what is it, Grayson Allen's out for a game?
Yep.
Right.
Is that it, that's just the way the ball bounces, or is that fair money?
Yeah, well, it's the way the ball bounces. I mean, obviously, you know, there's injuries in the game, but you want to get injured in a, like a really like a basketball play, especially nowadays.
LA Rams.
Okay. Yeah, LA Rams. Did you had a comment on that?
This is Drea.
Oh, what up, Drea? How are you?
What up, Drea?
Yo, send Grayson Allen back to where he came from. He's been doing this since day one at Duke. Mm-hmm. He's a dirty player. He needs to be suspended for 5 games. I don't care. Mm-hmm. You took out somebody that was vital for the Chicago Bulls, and you're a glorified role player. Suspend him for more. You knew you did that mess on purpose. Then you snickered after you did it.
Right.
You meant to do that mess on purpose. I'm over him.
Yeah.
Way. I'm done with him for sure.
Yeah, well, Caruso's a fan favorite because he doesn't play dirty. He just plays hard.
Right.
So if another player is going to come up, especially just to try to get the edge, because maybe Caruso's getting the edge on him, then, yeah, he's going to, you know, hear from it. But every sport, whether it's made up or real, needs a bad guy.
Yeah.
Everybody loves to have a bad guy. You know you're looking forward, or you know that next time that they come up against each other, you're going to watch it. So is it good for the game?
Oh, so definitely good for the game.
Okay, it's good for the game.
I mean, because at the end of the day, I mean, yes, we're talking about in the spirit of just straight competition. Yes. You know, but we're talking about other factors. We're talking about the entertainment factor. We're talking about we have to have good guys and villains. So and when we're talking about the product, yes, we need to go ahead and sell that. And yes, I would say, yeah, when it comes to that, yeah. When we talk about the bad boys, I mean, if the league really wanted to go ahead and shut down the bad boys, they would have hit them with way harder suspensions or anything like that, and they did none of that.
Because it's entertainment.
Yeah, and so it's what it is. And so, yes, and to be honest, when you're looking at it and you're thinking about the villains in the NBA, I mean, we really don't have too many.
I was going to say.
We have tough guys that can, you know, back up their shit. If you think about, Embiid, he may be looked at, people don't like him.
Yeah, but he's not a villain.
He's not a bad guy.
No, not like back in the day. NBA
even Pat Beverly. I mean, you really look at it. Pat Beverly really was just like a nuisance, but he wasn't really like.
There's no Bill Laimbeers.
Yeah, dude, we don't have any guy that's just trying to club you.
Like, but
you
what know, about a Rasheed Wallace? Was he a bad guy, or did he?
I think Rasheed Wallace is. I mean, to me, I was one of my favorite players of all time. I think he really got a bad rap with the come to the refs because he was in, you know, he was talking shit to the refs. So that's the reason he never did anything.
He was very passionate,
but he never did anything.
I love that game. He got kicked out just for looking at the ref. Remember that one?
Dude.
He's like, whack, you're out.
You're out.
And he's like, don't talk to me, Steve Smith. Don't talk to me. I told him if he looked at me one more time, all he did was look at him and give him the stink eye.
I was like, dude.
Gave him the stink eye and threw him out.
And that was, was that the same dude? That was Javi. Yeah. I remember when
it wasn't Crawford.
It wasn't Crawford. It was
Duncan.
It wasn't. Yeah. Crawford wanted to fight Duncan.
Crawford was sent out Duncan for just laughing.
Right.
I'm like, dude.
They challenged him to a fight.
Yeah. I'm like, yo, dude, what the heck is going
that's,
on?
That's beefy, right?
But yeah, we don't have any villains, and yeah, maybe you know, he's now put himself squarely in in the crosshairs.
Gotcha. But is he good enough to care?
No.
Okay. So you got to still be good, right, Mike?
Yeah, you definitely do.
Okay. So,
I think we're trying to stall on Lakers.
Yeah. Before we get going with the Lakers,
I do want to talk about the football later on, though.
We will. But before we get there, I want to give a shout out. Okay. Shout out because we are looking sharp today. We are looking very sharp today. Our buddies over here at Street Hoop Association.
Okay.
At Street Hoop Association on Instagram. I was out at a run at a Culver City game and ran into them out there. A couple of players were sporting. I was like, oh man, that looks hot. That's a hot logo. So I reached out. He decided he was going to go ahead and kick us down. So he's got the, what does your say? Hustle sold separately.
Yeah.
Now you love your statement shirt. So that's definitely the one you picked right away to put on.
Yeah. Because you know what though? To me, that's always, it's the work, you know what I mean? Like, especially when you watch a football game, you know what I mean? And they catch the ball, the guy ahead of them, and then the guy that's behind them pulls up before he even makes a touchdown. I know you're not going to make it, but damn.
Dude, just, you're on camera, man.
Yeah, you're on camera, man. Run through.
He's still on camera. They run it through.
We all see it, right?
Yeah. We all see it, exactly. So
yeah, y'all run through on the kickoff. You know, they run all pass, you know.
Hustle soul separately.
Man, like, come on.
It's right there with heart over talent.
I know, right now.
Yep.
I love it. I knew you'd grab that shirt as soon as I saw it. definitely reach out to our buddies over there at Street Hoop Association because they're hooking it up. Beautiful shirts. This one's purple with a gold foil. I love it. They also kick down some goodies that we might be giving away a little bit later via Clubhouse. So be sure to hop on Clubhouse because we're going to have a giveaway a little bit later. And Street Hoop Association gear might be in there. Mm-hmm. So be sure to hit them up because they're really cool over there and they got some nice stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you guys. Okay. So now we can get on to some gloominess. Okay.
Boy.
Yeah. This is not getting any prettier, guys. The Lakers are 2-5 in their last seven games. Wait. Let me say that again. The Lakers are 2-5 in their last seven games.
This is when you know it's bad. I'm going to tell you, this is when you know it's bad. There was a stat that came out that said that Russell Westbrook has a better shooting percentage than Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
The only difference is Steph Curry shoots threes.
Yeah.
So if Steph Curry is a 45%, you know, and he shoots three-pointers, that is an amazing stat, you know, from a 3-point line.
Yeah.
And what that goes to show is that you can take numbers and twist them to make them look like like anything you want them to sound
right,
like. Right. I mean, because in no way is he comparative to Curry, that's for sure.
Right. But then let's get right into it. You know, hey, I know Westbrook has been playing better, you know, more efficiently. I know Westbrook got benched, which I think was the right decision. Yeah. Let me back up a little bit because I have a whole lot of thoughts. For the past, you guys let me know what you think. And Clubhouse, you guys let me know too. For the past week and a half, I've actually have seen Vogel coach. I think, right, you know, because before then it seemed like they were just all going down, just doing whatever they wanted to do. But for the past week and a half, I've actually seen adjustments been made. Mm-hmm. Him put in the best players, you know, that's the ones that's hot.
Signs of a desperate man.
Yeah, right. Like,
well, yeah.
Why? I mean, and this is so bad for me because I know when we lost by 37, I was watching that Utah game the following game, and I was like impressed. I saw us, you know, get the lead. I saw us lose the lead. I saw adjustments been made, and we actually won that game. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, wow, maybe we're turning the corner because this, you know, maybe the coach has found something. And then I was mad because I was like, wait a minute. The rumor was if he would have lost that game, he would have got fired.
Yeah.
So,
that's why we're kind of like waiting to see what's going on. After this game, because it almost feels like when it comes to Vogel, then it's basically a game by game basis.
How can Jeannie do that? Jeannie said she was going to wait until the squad was fully healthy. You're now on the cusp of AD coming back. They're going to fire him before he gets back. That's just not going to happen. That can't happen. It won't happen. We want it to happen, but it's not going to happen. How can that happen?
No, it won't happen. I mean, it won't happen.
So now we got to go to the All-Star game, like we said, with Vogel.
Yeah, it's crazy because you have, I mean, there's so many cooks in the kitchen nowadays. Just influencing the decision making at the top, and we're talking about. I mean, if we don't know, I mean, I think everyone does know about that story that came out by the Athletic about how Rambis is the one that is kind of like pushing for certain personnel changes in the rotations. Wants to go to a big lineup. If he's not really, you know, doing that, then, you know, Vogel was in danger to, you know, be fired and things of that nature. Now, tonight, there's some things that I would say when it comes to now, and I know you said, Mike, that Vogel was kind of coaching, but it was like Jeff was saying, it basically is signs of a desperate man. His job is at stake. And I do believe, though, tonight was one of those times where kind of like when you start seeing the hot hand, you got to ride it. You got to understand now that there's no reason why Ariza should be starting over Stanley Johnson, right? That shouldn't happen, right? I mean, the fact that my man is actually balling and he's doing, you know, going on the floor or diving for loose balls, like things that we need. He's giving that.
I don't even have the energy to argue for or against that because it really doesn't matter.
But you can
take Ariza, put him on the bench, and put.
Austin Reeves need more minutes. I mean, you're giving minutes to Avery Bradley where you should be giving no minutes to Austin Reeves. Where I'm saying that, yes, these guys that we're looking at on paper might not move the needle, but when they're in the game, the ones that we want to be in the game is having impact on that game. The other ones, you're looking at the PER, you're looking at the plus minus, and you're looking at negative 15, negative 12, and they're getting like 28 minutes a game. And so I'm trying to figure out, like, why are they getting so many minutes and they're like negative 13, negative 15 for the game? That's more on the coach. So, yeah, he's doing better. But and do I have the answers? I don't have the answers. I don't know what he's going to do.
There's no
answer.
Well, Clubhouse, Blinkit Mike,
please. Yeah, I know you guys have thoughts. We all need to discuss this here.
But let me just say this. I mean, the fact that Stanley Johnson is on his third, 10-day contract, I don't understand why we haven't signed him and put him on the roster. I mean, he definitely has shown the hustle. He's shown the defense, the intensity, the fact that he I think he definitely deserves a spot. Go ahead, Andre. I see you.
Oh, I was just clapping for you, but I think it's money. I think they're saving money doing 10-day contracts. I'm sorry, I was yelling for the Rams today. So
you sound great. I love it. That's a sports voice.
We're going to get you a Rams. You know what?
Let's keep you on the line here really quick, Jay, because I was talking with my girl, Christine. You've met her. And she just, she's a novice fan. She watches it from afar, but she picks up on a lot, and she picks up on body language and such, and says, this team just doesn't believe. This team just isn't there. Mm-hmm. They're not playing for each other. They don't care. And for me, this goes deeper, and this goes into the Rob Pelinka strategy of building teams with one-year deals. Mm-hmm. Nobody here feels like they're here for the long haul, so who cares? They're just playing for their next gig, their next day, their next, 10-day contract, whatever. You can sign all the 10-day contracts you want. You can sign all the one-year deals. You're never going to get that loyalty. Mm-hmm. You're never going to get that out of it. I think that's a problem. What do you think, Dre?
I don't buy that as the reason because even the year we won the chip, we had people on short contracts as well. I think what our issue is, have you ever had if anybody's ever hooped, and you have a new guy that comes on the squad and completely does not mesh with your offense, throws everything off. Have you ever had that where you've had that player that just sticks out like a sore thumb? Like,
yeah. That can happen in any environment, even an office environment. Sure.
Yeah. Why won't coach bench you? Right. Like, why are you still here? Mm-hmm. I think that people forget like how hard. It's hard for us to watch as fans, but can you imagine how hard it is for the Anthony Davises who won a chip without somebody there, right? Then you bring him in, then it's completely difficult to work with this one piece. Then you add all these pieces, and it's like nobody can get cohesive with this one piece we keep trying to make fit, right? That is the most nerve-wracking thing ever. I know I've definitely been a part of it before. I know how it feels. I know that the frustration has to be at an all-time high to where it's like, no matter how hard we keep fighting, we're going to run into the same crap over and over again. Mm-hmm. It just is what it is. And that will literally burst the bubble for you. That will literally take the oomph out of your sail. It'll literally just make you, I'm not going to exude my energy. Right now, we're literally sitting here floating because the bottom part of the West is garbage, right? Mm-hmm. So we're literally floating at 6-7 without even trying. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not about to exude my energy to cover up for his mistakes. This is ridiculous. I think they're all frustrated. And until we make adjustments to where that is not an issue anymore, we're pretty much fighting a losing battle. It's harder. I wish I could say like, I want this and this can work. Basketball wise, this is painfully impossible. I said, if Bron pulls this off and they win a ring with this, Yo, that man's the best player I've ever seen play basketball hands down, bro. Like, at all. Like,
no one else will say that. Nobody else will say that.
Okay, cool. So we know what the problem is, and we've seen it all season. There's a big rumor going around, you know, is equal money. You know, Houston said that they're willing to take Westbrook and give us John Wall. But now John Wall, that's like having another AD on the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're talking about, like, injured players.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, to quote
– he's a jerk, too.
To quote our girl Allison a while back, she said the car fats, you know, we got to look at the car fats. Yeah, got to look at the car fats. You know, do we make that trade? Do we make that trade for John Wall for Westbrook?
I think that's just throwing, pardon my French, shit against the wall to see if it sticks at this point. That's, again, you got to start just.
What do we do? What do you think, Pat?
So when it comes to that trade, right? Is he going to shoot like Westbrook? No. So I'm like, let's do the trade. Because what I
all
see
we need is the shooting.
What I'm saying is, no, when I'm looking at Westbrook's game and I'm looking at what he gives me and I'm looking at this and I'm pulling for this brother and my man is really literally on bank shots, the shot that supposedly his bread and butter, and he still hasn't gotten that shot down yet. He's hitting the backboard. I thought when Peja hit the other side of the backboard when he airballed that brick, I thought that was the worst airball I've ever seen in my life. He is hitting the top of the backboard on bank shots, okay? So if my man can at least put the ball close to the rim, at least I have an opportunity for an offensive rebound. Maybe we can do something different. I just don't see how Westbrook at this stage in the game is going to help us. And of course, everybody wants to see, like, he had that. And this was funny about it. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to point to everybody out there in Lakeland. Look, man, I know he dunked on that dude's head. I know. And it was, and that's what I've been waiting for, that dunk. But don't let that cloud your judgment, man. Don't let that dunk and that energy that he gave was like, oh, now that's the Westbrook I want to see. Well, I want to see him do that all the time then. I mean, if he's dunking, not just once. I mean, we've been waiting the whole season for that energized moment. I thought he was going to be doing plays like that to energize whole season.
Okay, so but the problem with that is, you know, everybody knows the biggest problem is that Westbrook, it needs to be kind of Westbrook's team, and we know it's not. And Westbrook needs to have the ball the whole time. Because Westbrook is, I mean, look, let's say what it is. He's an energy player, right? You know, he's a player that needs to come into the game and create
the energy for the game. He has to be a part of the game. He has to be the center.
Right, yeah. He's not a player that's going to come in and just say, okay, this is what we're doing today, and then be able to go in that space.
He's not going to take the Melo role that Melo has taken.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Which applaud Melo for that.
Applaud him for that.
Yeah. But Melo, that's what Melo always was. He was always a guy that could come in and get shots. You know what I mean? He wasn't going to pass. He knew what his game was.
Right.
So that fits in. You know, because I said at the beginning of the season, hey, if I need somebody to come in and give me 15 points very quick, I'm going to go ahead and call Melo and have him come in. But because Westbrook and LeBron cannot coexist, we all agree. We've been saying that all season. And Westbrook is not going to be able to be on the court long enough to be able to create the energy and give the energy for the rest of the team. Then, yeah, I agree. We should go ahead and just try to get John Wall and see what he can do. Because maybe he can be able to be effective in not having to be the centerpiece of the team.
Yeah. Hey, Pat, we'll go to you right now. But really quick, get ready, Clubhouse. We'd like you guys to tap your mic because we're going to go ahead and pick one person who joined us on the show today. And we're going to give you a Street Hoop Association prize pack here that the Street Hoop Association provided. So be sure to tap your mics if you want to chime in. Go ahead, Pat. Sorry.
Okay, no problem. No. What I was noticing, like, we talk about the only way that Westbrook can be effective is if he has the ball in his hands and he's controlling it. But we see what that looks like. You know what I'm saying? That's 9 turnovers. You know what I'm saying? That's shots on the top of the backboard. These are all these things when he has the ball, he's going to continue to do. And I don't know if it's by volume that we have to wait until he gets 25 shots up so we can look at the stat sheet and said he went 10 for 25, 10 rebounds and 12 assists. Got his triple double, but he's still 10, and he got like seven turnovers. What I notice is like when you're playing against, when we talk about players that need to have the ball in their hands, and then that's when they're most effective. I think about players that are stars and that played with bigger stars in their career and see how that worked out. One guy comes up to mind is Kobe and Shaq, right? Kobe Bryant was like, I'm going to take these shots, but I'm just as effective as Shaq, and I'm going to prove it. And that when I have the ball in my hand, it's not detrimental. It's not to the team. I'm going to help the team when we're going to win championships. Another example, we have Kyrie with LeBron James. I mean, Kyrie Irving was not. We had the ball in his hand when everybody said that LeBron needed to have the ball in his hand. Well, guess what? I can handle the rock too. And when he's handling the rock, he's not making these turnovers. He is scoring. There's a meme out there where there's both him and LeBron going like things like 40 points that game or something like that, where you see like two guys going at it at the same time, like they throw up that stat where both of them went 40 points in the playoff game. That's what we're talking about when we want to give somebody says they need to be involved in the game. I need to see that production, because just because you feel that it's best for your game to be the one to handle the rock, you got to show me that you got to do more than 10 for 25, 10, you know, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, whatever, and 8 turnovers with that.
Turnovers are killing.
You know?
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to get from him on his team. I think he probably would be better on another team that where he could control office the whole time and know that there's not like another MVP caliber, another $44 million.
Right. I have a weird player. Question. This is just a what if. Do you think he would have been better on the Clippers?
Yes. And I'm gonna tell you why. And I'm gonna tell you a short answer. There's something about the spotlight for playing for the Lakers and playing for the Clippers. Now, yes, the Clippers have been going on about their business and everything, but nobody's drilling them for that, right? The Lakers, we'll have it. We got fans from other teams looking at us just trying to find out what we're doing, not paying attention to their team. We have everyone is – I mean, we create – the Lakers, the scrutiny can go both, you know, good and bad, right? We can have a person
Comptomania like says no, that Westbrook wouldn't be better on the Clippers.
I mean, he's not going to be better with the Lakers.
Well, I mean, we've seen that. So would he help the Clippers more? So is there a trade
Is there a trade there? We're not talking about like,
You talked about trading for an injured player. Would you trade Westbrook for Kawhi?
Come on, dude.
It's not happening, but.
when I quit Westbrook for Kawhi.
He's whacked out. Let's see what he
says. Yeah, it might be like, nah.
Absolutely, because I need defense. Because, again, you know, my biggest problem with LeBron is that, look, LeBron is great. He'll get a triple-double, score 40 points. We lose by 37. Mm-hmm. So there needs to be defense at some point in time to be played. We got the scoring, you know what I mean? But if our defense is to try to outscore the team, that ain't working. So
right. Our best defense is our offense.
Right. So therefore,
that's it. Right.
Therefore, we need D'Antoni defense. Right. That's what I said. Therefore, we need to have defense. Right?
Okay. So let's stick to subject again. John Wall is what we were talking about. We were talking about whether or not that seems to be the most realistic now. At least that's just because we're hearing the rumblings, but it rarely happens. That's normally you hear this over here because they're looking over there.
I think they really should do it. I mean, they're saying that the other thing is that they want the 2027 pick,
yeah,
which is the first available pick that we can give them.
So why not just give them one more? Why not?
Right? Who can't listen? Look. Every first round that we get, the second pick or the third pick, we trade them anyway after a year or two. So it don't even matter if we have them, right? Because
we never use them anyway.
We're going to get rid of them anyway.
Yeah, but they're good currency, and you get rid of them so far in advance, you don't have anything to trade with your for maybe a really good trade or something like that.
Yeah.
But
if you're always trading for a one-year player, this is going to keep happening.
I'm at the point where I'm a little sick and sick and tired of this. We need to sweeten the pot with a first rounder. The Lakers need to swing the pot with a first rounder. Other teams can go ahead and get 2 second rounders and a player. The Lakers need to swing the pot with a first rounder. Now, another thing, why are we giving this up and not negotiating hard for pick swaps? Because I'm tired of giving you
giving, never giving.
No, we need to hold out for the pick swap. If you look at any of the trades that the Houstons have done, okay, they have did pick swaps. They're stacking picks, but they're doing that. And if they're just going to be, you know, hard pressed to go ahead and put the Lakers' feet to the fire, then I'm not with that anymore. You know, when we're making these deals for these 1 year guys or whatever, we need to talk about pick swaps because we're not in a position. Because when we're looking at the future is, I won't say bleak. I won't say that's kind of like, you know, glass half full, I mean, half empty kind of thing, but LeBron's going to be going in about 3 years. He's not going to be there. AD hasn't proved himself to be the person that we need him to be so we can build upon, you know, because he's, you know, like once if I'm not making a mistake, I think Andrea said this before, because the best ability is availability, you know, and that's what we need. Well, we need more people consistent. And if we're talking about building this roster up, we're going to need all the draft picks that we can get. And one thing we know about the Lakers scouting department, we'll get those gems at the bottom of the draft. We'll do that. But we need the picks to do that, because we're not going to have a bunch of Austin Reeves that are going to be jumping up through the G League or Caruso's or whatever that we're going to get from the bottom of the barrel. Now, our scouting department is great like that, but we can't be living like that. We need to go ahead and get our
picks. But, I mean, listen, but we're always desperate, though, right? Like, we even the THTs and everybody that's performing now, we're willing to give them away to get another player to salvage the season.
Just for the salvage of the season, right. Yes.
So, I mean, it's like we get rid of the trades anyway. We get rid of our best player to, you know, anyway. So, I think at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter, because – If we get a number one draft pick in 2027, I guarantee he would, by 2020, he would not be on the team.
Okay. Well, because he'd be minus 7 years old. But that's okay. No, we understand what you mean. Basically, the Lakers are not at 30. But I understand what you mean, because the Laker brass is not patient enough to let them grow. But, of course, the brass responds to the fans, of course.
Yeah.
But I think the fans would – the fans want something. They want a team that they can get behind, not just a player and a bunch of different guys every year. I just feel like if you're looking at the squads right now that are consistent, it's the ones that have been together a little while.
You know what's really crazy about, like, I've talked about this with a couple of guys beforehand, and like,
what, Mike?
You know, it's the fact that I've never seen a Laker team that looks like this on paper that sucks. Like when we sucked before. Oh, we know. We got Robert Sacre in the lineup. You know what I'm saying? We got Chris Mims starting with Brian Grant. Like, we know what it looks like. You know what I'm talking about? So it's like, but when we look at it on paper, we're like, oh, we about to smash this year. You know, and we usually smash see it.
But
this is the first time I've ever had a situation where I'm looking at this team and like, ain't no way this should be like this.
And I'm starting to lose that feel that everyone is saying. I know somebody was quoted, a former player was quoted as saying, yeah, the Lakers may look the way they do, but no team wants to see them in the playoffs. And we've said that. I'm not so sure about that anymore.
Man,
I'm really not so sure that anyone's too afraid of this team. Now, when they get AD back, whatever they do 5 games after the All-Star game, that's the team we're going to have. That's it. So what, and it's just not looking great, but there just doesn't look like there's any small thing. The part that's so deflating about this is there is no one person to blame. There's no one place to point. You're not just pointing at the coach, because you know, the players, they're not playing hard.
I'm pointing at Rob Pelinka. Because we never should have had Westbrook.
I agree with that.
Got Buddy Hield.
And he should have held against LeBron.
And if we would have had Buddy Hield.
Okay, you guys hear yourselves? There ain't no way. When Jeannie Buss put LeBron James as one of the best Lakers of all time in her top five or something like that, you already know the deal. And if you're saying that LeBron James is asking for Westbrook.
No telling.
He's getting Westbrook.
I understand
nothing
that.
About Rob Pelinka, because he had that trade. He had it ready to go.
So they
told him not to do it.
This is what it
proves. Who was the they?
This is what it proves.
Who's the they?
This is what it proves. It proves that LeBron James is a bad GM.
Well, I mean, yeah.
He has been historically. This is what he's done to teams historically.
Yeah.
He goes and with the teams that he's won titles, which is the teams he's played on, he goes, he wins a title, but then he leaves them in a shambles based on the trades that he essentially demanded, I suppose. If you ask Miami, if you ask Cleveland, that's what they feel.
You know, I mean, at least those teams were competitive, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like this one literally, like, tanked the season. Like, this one is so bad that it put us in the position. I never seen him make a trade where they were still not number one, number two seed in the East. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they were always still top in the East, even though the trade probably didn't work. Even though we had, like, you know, there's Kevin Love's, you know, you have all those players and stuff like that, you know, getting Tristan Thompson that big time contract, like him playing GM. Yeah, I get that. But when you talk about right now and we're talking about fit, it didn't feel like fit. It felt like, let's just get my – I'm going to play with my boys. I just want to play with my boys. There's Westbrook over there. He ain't won nothing. Let's get him over here. That'll put us over the edge. And no one's looking at how he fits into the game. Nobody's really asking the question.
No, everybody outside of the Lakers organization did. The second this trade was made and everyone thought it was healed, everybody questioned.
Yeah.
Right.
Everybody.
Especially us at Fame Nation.
Well, we did. But the reason why is because we just saw in the bubble how the Lakers beat Houston.
Right.
They sagged. They left Westbrook alone.
Yes.
That's how they beat him. Then they traded for the guy that they clearly sagged off on.
Which is amazing.
And expect a different result.
Well, and look, amazing. And it literally was the same situation. Harden had the ball the whole time. And then Westbrook had no – I said it over there. Like – there's no place for Westbrook if Harden's going to have the ball, though.
No, it's just, gosh. Yeah. Okay,
it's frustrating.
Guys.
Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And we're just going to go right now with Compton Mania. Thank you, Compton Mania. New show on this, on our podcast network, the TGN Sports Radio. The Lakers are soft as puppy piss. Yes, they are. and until they prove different, they are puppy piss. So right. We'll go with that. I love it. All right, cool. I love it. All right. Now, with that, okay, not all is lost in L.A., everybody. We got a squad. The Rams are in it to win it, guys.
Man.
The Rams are in it to win it. How are they
going
to
do it?
Bring us up to date on this NFL football weekend, please.
Okay, so, you know, the Rams looked good for the first half. I ain't going to lie to you. They looked like they were putting it on it. It was 20-3, and they were driving.
Tom Brady.
But they were actually driving in the first half. And this is where I think where the game kind of, like, when you saw the momentum kind of shifting towards Tampa Bay, because – one thing that I always was worried about when the Rams is like when they have a team down, they need to go for the throat. Like me and my friends who always talk about, like, we say sweep the leg, right? For mm-hmm. you know, Karate Kid reference.
No mercy.
You know, no mercy. Sweep the leg, man. You got them down 20-3. Get that 27-3 on them. Let them think about it all for those 10 minutes, 15 minutes in the halftime. Come back. You got the ball coming out of halftime. You know what I'm saying? Put that next, you know, 7 points on them. Get that 34-3 on them. Let them think about that. Let them come back from that. You know what I'm saying? You want to be Tom Terrific? Come back from that.
Mm-hmm.
But you go out and you get them down. And what down. Happens? All of a sudden, these guys have started just making all these different turnovers. Now, I will tell you this. When it comes to the Rams and they're playing the 49ers next week.
Ooh, that's scary.
The 49ers are not scared of the Rams.
They prove it.
They proved it all the time. Now, of course, everyone's going to say, we can't wait. We give them back. They're back in the house. We're going to do it again. We're not going to make those same mistakes. We're going to go ahead and put it on them. I'm telling you right now, dude, they just went out there in the cold in Green Bay. They're going to be in sunny Southern California.
They care less.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know if y'all know this. I mean, we got pictures of the tailgate.
Exactly.
Week 18.
And they took over the joint.
Mike, tailgate week 18. What was that like? You were there.
Man, listen, tailgate week 18. You talk about who was the more hyped, who was riding. It was all like red. It was just red.
So if you didn't know which team played in that stadium, what would you have thought?
You know what? Yeah. The 49ers,
they travel well, especially in California.
Yeah, and they felt that too. And right now, they already are talking about literally an hour after the game was over.
Rams season ticket holders.
The Rams put out please do not sell tickets to 49er fans. Like, they're literally trying to do everything that they can to prevent 49er fans from coming into that stadium. But I'm going to tell y'all something. You know, I've done watched enough football in my life to see that one team, that one Cinderella team, that you that barely make it into the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, you've been talking about
and
this.
And then get that true, momentum, and they go straight. And if you listen to this story, like, look at it. Look at this storyline. Like, there's always a storyline, right? And the storyline is, in order to make the playoffs, the 49er had to beat the Rams.
Yeah.
Right? In order to go to the Super Bowl, the 49ers have to beat the Rams. Yeah. Right. There is no fear in the 49ers. See, a lot of people, the reason why the 49ers had that record is because they weren't healthy all year. Guess what? 49ers are healthy now.
Yeah, they're healthy.
So, look,
have the confidence.
Right. Well, I'm not counting out the Rams. I think definitely the Rams could do it. I'm going to tell you right now, Steve Bradford, he should not throw no interception, because what he does.
Well, or Stafford.
Yeah. Stafford. What Stafford does when he's playing a great game, when he has great games, that's when he throws that pick.
Yes, Stafford had a phenomenal game today. However, I think they're going to beat the 49ers. And this is why I tell you, is because I don't trust Jimmy G. And what I saw today, if that pass rush with Leonard Floyd, you have Von Miller on the other side, you have Aaron Donald up the middle, and you got the back, you know, covered with, you know, Jalen Ramsey taking away the number one receiver. They already saw Deebo Samuel go ahead and go off on him in week 18. Everyone now knows who Deebo is. If they didn't know before, they know who Deebo is now. But when it comes to that, I really believe that the Rams are going to be on their game. It's like one thing to beat a team. And now you got to go back and do it again in the playoffs. It's a one game shot. It's going to be hard for Jimmy G to pull that game, another game out. And he didn't even play well that game. That's what I'm saying. They're going to force him into a lot of difficult situations. Now, look, man, look, I'm a Raider fan, so I have no dog in the fight. But I'm just looking at objectively on paper. I don't know if they're going to be able to do it again. The Rams have the motivation now because they lost the game. Whereas, you know, they got the 49ers got to keep it up. You know, they got to keep up that momentum and sort of go ahead and to it. But it's going to be a great game.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Because on the other side, it ain't going to be a great game. I mean, I think KC
and the Bengals.
I think KC, Jamar Chase is an amazing receiver. Burrow, you know, is a good quarterback. But there's no way that they'll be able to keep up with what KC got for them.
Right. Well, look, man, look, anytime you take 13 seconds and drive all the way for a game-winning field goal, that's scary stuff, man. That's not time. When we're looking at – we're thinking about the history of the game and the much playoff games that we've seen. If you see 13 seconds on the clock, that usually be like the kiss of death. They're not going to be able to make it. It'd be like a 70 – it's like a 58-yard field goal. The fools got down and made a 49-yard field goal. You know, that's crazy, dude. They got to the 32-yard line.
I'm going to tell you what's more scary. When he threw that ball to Tyreek Hill on the 25-yard line, and I'm like, oh, he about to run past everybody.
Oh, yeah, cheetah, and then throw the peace sign.
Right.
Like going into the end zone. Right. Like throw the peace sign. Like, you're not going to catch me.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, yeah, because he was at full speed, and everybody was just starting to run. And I'm like, oh, no, it's a wrap. So, you know, those – and then you got Kelce, who
Kelce's the guy.
Yeah.
I know Tyreek Hill is the man, and he's a really good wide receiver. But when you see when Mahomes really needed something, when he really needed to go and get go on fourth down or get those third downs and move those chains, he's looking Travis Kelce's way all the time. They roll him out to the left side. He throws that little jump off kind of like across his body kind of thing that he does. You know, Mahomes does his trademark. And he hits Kelce every time. And once again, he hit Kelce in the back of the end zone, just like he hit Kelce for that win in the overtime against the Chargers. Like, that is that's where the Rams are going to have to, and they have to make a decision. Are they going to guard Travis Kelce with a DB, like, say, Jalen Ramsey? or are they going to give it up for the safeties and the linebackers? If that's the case, if a linebacker's on Casey on Kelsey, it's going to be barbecue chicken. So I'm just, I mean, it's going to be an interesting. Not, I think really when it comes to them, I think it's going to be a blowout. It should be. We'll know about what the line looks like when it comes to that Bengals.
Yeah, I think it's going to be at least 14.
Okay, so we're looking at least our assumption is KC's coming out. They're in the bowl. We have the Rams. We have the 49ers. Who's winning?
Look, you know what? I want the Rams to play for many reasons. I want the Rams to play in the SoFi Stadium for the Super Bowl.
Okay.
For many reasons. So,
so you're calling Rams.
I'm going with the Rams. I think that they definitely could do it. But I'm going to tell you, man, I'm scared of the 49ers. I'm not going to lie to you.
Stat Pat. Rams, 49ers. Rams. Are the Rams going to win two games at home?
Yeah, Rams
to close this season?
Rams win. Rams, like I said, I think when it comes to the offense, I mean, they're now starting to – I mean, now Cam Akers now, if you listen to me, probably if you listen to this podcast, you know, had a good game. You had to put the ball on the floor, put the ball on the ground twice, you know, and that's –
Don't do that.
You can't do that because the only way that you beat, say, a team like the 49ers, you have to be perfect because they're going to capitalize on your mistake. You just saw they were down. They were hanging around with Green Bay. They got that. They blocked the field goal at the end of the first half, and then they blocked the punt for the touchdown. Okay, the special teams show up, so you cannot take that team lightly. What you need to do is you need to go out there and pop them in the mouth. Go ahead and establish your running game. Keep the ball. Don't turn it over. And then use your play action to get deep with Cooper Kupp. And now Van Jefferson, I mean, he's now actually stepping up too. I mean, he needs more people. And, of course, we got OBJ still there around. So they have all the tools they need to beat the 49ers this go around.
Okay.
Yeah, at Clubhouse, you guys have any predictions for next week? Who's going to the Super Bowl?
Any predictions going on? We're going to see if they're on there.
Go ahead, Crispy. What you got?
Yeah, man. That game between the Bills and the Chiefs was epic.
Man.
I'm a Bills fan. I've been since I was six.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, just hats off to the Chiefs, you know, that they put it off. And just to make a comment on that one touchdown from the wideout, when he threw up the peace sign, I don't know if you guys seen
it. Yeah, we saw it.
Josh Allen threw up the peace sign back, you know, when they were getting the ball back. So, you know, he converted. He came down, he converted. But shout out to the Chiefs for, you know, a great victory. You know, it was a phenomenal football game. But for Super Bowl, I got Chiefs. I'm going to go Chiefs-Rams.
Hey, Chris, let me ask you, man. I mean, when you saw them kick that ball off, you know, after you guys took the lead, and they kicked the ball off with 13 seconds, and they didn't squib it. How do you feel about that? Like, wouldn't you think?
I was upset.
Yeah, right. You got to squib that. You got to take some. Some seconds off the clock, yeah. and it's crazy. That's how razor thin everything had came down to in that game. We're scrutinizing the decision to squib or not squib the kick. Because we're looking at a 13-second game and thinking, like, if we take 5 seconds off that clock, the game is over. You would have won the game. But we're at that point, and that's what it takes to beat a team like the Chiefs. Especially on the road. You know how it goes. When you got them on the ropes on the road, you got to go ahead and you did everything you were supposed to do.
It makes me wonder, too, like, if the pressure was just so phenomenal, you know, that the coaches were caught up in the moment and, you know, they just wasn't thinking straight because at that point in the game, you got to squib the ball, you know, and run that time off. You know, if we run that time off, we pick up the W in that game, you know, it never went to overtime. So,
Yeah, because defense really wasn't a factor at all in that game because, you know, nobody could be stopped on either side. So you just, it was definitely a phenomenal game.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Crispy. All right. So every episode, we finish with a segment we like to call Money Mike's Out of Bounds. Money Mike is going to share his thoughts on a topic or a subject, and he wants to know, is his opinion in bounds or out of bounds? Money Mike, you've got the mic.
Yeah. So you know what? It's crazy how my mind works, but I think you guys are gonna laugh at this one, man. It's a real fun one. I was thinking about, like, if I was playing football, man, what position would I want to be, right? And I was like, you know what the dopest position is on the football team? It's a kicker. You know why? Because the kicker gets to sit around and watch the whole game. He ain't never got to do two a days. He ain't got to ever get hit. He ain't probably got to look at no playbook. You know, he ain't got to do that. All he got to do is just go, you know, probably his practice, you know, if it's a four-hour practice, he kicked the ball, you know, for 2 hours and just go home. He ain't probably even got to go to half the meetings, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and then this dude goes around and just – kick a field goal to win the game.
And everyone lifts him up on the shoulder.
So, you know what? I was sitting around thinking, like, dude, you know what? I ain't ever got to get hurt. I ain't never got to have no pads on.
Kicker's pads.
You know what I mean? I could just act like I'm tackling and nobody expects me to. You know what I mean? I never going to get hit. But look, am I out of bounds to say, man, the best position to play on the field, is a kicker? Am I the man to be that?
Let's go with Stat Pat, and then we'll hit up Clubhouse if you guys have a thought.
Yeah, you're out of bounds. and because with all of that, you know, the ease of the position and the responsibilities, you can go from hero to goat quick.
Yeah, the pressure.
But the thing is, what I'm saying is, you don't have opportunities to make up for it. No. Quarterback can go in there and throw a pick, come back, get the ball, get a touchdown. We don't care about that. You tell me the guy. Okay, tell me. I mean,
That's not true. The kicker, Casey Kicker, missed the field goal and he missed the extra point. Everybody was like, dude, who the hell is that dude? But he tied the game. He's the hero.
Yeah, definitely the hero.
It's what have you done for me lately?
But if you're like, say for example, like earlier in the year, Mason Crosby, the kicker of the Green Bay Packers, missed three kicks. This is Mason Crosby.
Well, you can't do that.
So what I'm saying is, what does that plane ride back home look like?
The whole squad was taking beats and getting bruised, and you don't even come to the meeting? And your uniform is clean.
And you don't come to the meeting.
And you lost the game for them.
Cost of the game.
We're not talking about the bad stuff. We're talking about the good stuff.
Clubhouse, please check your mic.
My leg is good for 60. I mean, you know me? My leg is good for 60. Man,
let's go to
Clubhouse. Am I about for saying, man, the best position is to be on the football team? Can you is to be a kicker?
Heck no, Money Mike. You completely out of bounds on this one, man. Like, come on, man. That's the most pressure position besides being a quarterback, and kickers get a beat. You know, they can blow the game, they can win the game.
But when I win the game, man, shoot. Everybody's taking me out, though.
The game, it's all love, but if you're missing field goals out here under a pressure situation, your teammate's gonna hate you, man.
Yeah,
most likely you're gonna get fired. You're gonna get fired for missing the field goal.
Hey, but dog, look, if I'm Vinatieri,
I was gonna say Vinatieri, exactly.
Yeah, but he's historically good.
If I'm Janikowski, everybody good. Look, Janikowski was like 100 and I mean like 400 pounds, but he still was kicking the ball.
I'm gonna give you an example, Mike, real quick. There was a kicker back in the day named Morton Anderson. Probably anybody that watched football a long time know about Morton Anderson. Morton Anderson was a kicker for the New Orleans Saints, kicked a lot of field goals, okay? He went over to the Minnesota Vikings, okay? They actually had it was when Randy Moss was on the team, and they was killing everybody, and I think they played Atlanta Falcons. They go to the Super Bowl. He missed the kick. This is Morton Anderson. This is like the Hall of Fame kicker. Missed this kick, and they crucified a Hall of Famer like he was Fairbairn from UCLA. Like he was like, it was so bad. I was like, I feel bad for the guy. Now you would have had me if you would have said the punter. Because the punter has really no response.
Okay? Good point.
You would have said the punter, I would say you inbounds. Because that dude right there just got to make sure you got to keep it in the lines, bro. Don't let it go to the end zone. Keep it in the lines.
I want the love. I want them to pick me up, man. Yeah, hit me on my helmet because that's the only type of contact I get. You know what I mean? Anybody else at Clubhouse agree or disagree with me?
Street Hoop says you're inbounds, just so you know. So Street Hoop agrees.
Hey, good looking, Street Hoop.
There we go. Who we got here?
Go ahead, Andrea.
man, you 200% inbounds, bro. Dang. That's like the easiest. Come on, like, they getting millions of dollars.
Okay.
Sit there and come in with a clean jersey for a kick. Mm-hmm. I don't see anybody crucifying them. I apologize. I've only seen the one example you gave for the Hall of Fame kicker. That's when I've seen somebody crucify. Other than that, I have not seen that. You're either a lifesaver or they forget about you in 2 days. Period.
Yeah, he still had to get on the plane home.
I don't know about that.
Millions to kick twice a day. I'm sorry.
Right. Look, I mean, man, you ain't got no play. Think about this. You ain't doing no contact. Like, you know they have contract drills, non-contact. You ain't got to worry about
you. You can literally go to any team and just plug and play.
Hey, y'all, look.
I'm ready, bro. I know what to do.
Next time, look at the kicker pads, man. Look at the kicker pads.
They don't have pads.
Right. They don't need it.
Thigh pads.
That's what I'm saying. They don't. You know what I mean? All I got to do is kick the ball and I'm good. And then I'm the, you know?
Yeah, man. I don't know, man. Like I said, the kicker, man. Dude, that's how I see, man. Look, man, when you good, you good.
My leg is for 60, though.
I'm just saying, and then when you missing, dude, nobody's sitting with you on the plane.
Oh, not only that, but the whole city hates you.
But we're talking about you. Stop talking about the negative. I'm talking about me winning.
Well, then guess what? Then when the quarterback not throwing interceptions, he's winning both football games.
That's definitely the best spot.
That's the best.
And when he's got the best offensive line and he doesn't even get touched.
You're trying to get the accolade with that minimum work.
Who is the all-time leader in interceptions in the NFL? You know it's that fact.
What? Interceptions? You mean thrown?
Throwing it, all-time leader in interceptions thrown.
Nah, man. You got me.
Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Right? Does anybody have a negative opinion about Brett Favre?
If Brett Favre didn't win that Super Bowl, hell yeah.
Exactly.
If Brett Favre didn't win that Super Bowl, he's Tony Romo.
Hey.
And you know it.
All-time leading interception thrower is Brett Favre.
All right.
Nobody knows.
And he lucked up for that Super Bowl.
And do you know the guy who missed that field goal for the loss in 72?
No.
Exactly. All right. So Mike was right. He's in bounds.
No, because you said 70. You said 72 and then gave me a team name.
That's the Dolphins. That's the Dolphins undefeated season, right? 72?
Finkel.
Finkel, Einhorn. All right. Thank you guys for joining us.
Hey, good old stat pack. Hey, one more thing before we get out. Wednesday is the anniversary of a sad moment of Kobe and Gigi, and Clubhouse is going to have the Los Angeles Lakers Fan Club on Clubhouse is going to have a special show to tribute that. We want to add to that by giving away a pair of G League tickets. So make sure you guys tune in to the Los Angeles Lakers Fan Club on Wednesday, and we will be giving out G League tickets for the LA. I'm sorry, the South Bay.
South Bay Lakers. That is, of course, where Caruso came from. Talen Horton Tucker grew up through that league. So it's a great squad. And you get to go to the Lakers training facility,
which is
amazing in itself. It's a beautiful facility.
Absolutely. And we get to look at some players that could replace the players that's already up there.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So, just want to, shout out to Crispy. I don't know if Crispy want to add to that, but yeah, we're going to definitely give away tickets.
Feel free, Crispy, if you'd like to say anything.
Oh, yeah, I just appreciate you guys for always supporting us. And, the love is real on this side. So thanks to the Profanity Nation. Make sure you guys follow the Profanity Nation on all platforms, IG, Twitter. Some dope guys over there. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And again, we'd like to thank Street Hoop Association for the kind digs. We didn't have too much interaction on Clubhouse tonight, so we will give away the shirt and jersey that they provided on next week's show. Trust me, we're going to give it away, and you guys are going to love it. So we will make sure to get it out there. Everybody, keep kind, keep together, keep strong. This is a important week for us. Wednesday. Be a tough day.
Yeah.
But together we stay strong, Lakers strong, and we will be back on the air next Sunday.
Shout out.
Thank you to everybody who joined us online here. We got Compton Mania.
Hey.
That is a new show that is going to be on the Good News Radio Network. And sure. I'm really interested in them. We had a meeting this weekend and they really stood out, right? Yeah. We talked about that.
Man, they got the wrestling, man. Like it's like the WWE versus Compton.
Exactly.
That's pretty dope.
They're like,
go ahead and follow Compton Mania Instagram.
AEW.
There we go. Compton Mania. There it is. Compton Mania. Thanks, guys. Yeah, so we got Compton Mania again. Like I said, Street Hoop Association, Roland LLB Nation in the house. We've got let's see what else we got. We got a couple other people. Dre Reyes in the house. So everybody, thank you so much for commenting and taking part. We will be here next week, next Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Always. We appreciate you. Here you go. There you go. Again, look out for Compton Mania. Compton. It's wrestling show. It's a wrestling show. It's freaking awesome.
Yes.
I can't wait. It's dope. I can't wait to learn more. And I love their logo. It's
and I'll be hot. We'll be at the tailgate next week.
Oh, big tailgate. Big tailgate next week. So yeah. And you'll report on that for us?
Absolutely.
Okay. So Mike will be reporting back from the Rams 49ers tailgate next week, and we'll know what was going on and what the feel was. And whether or not the Rams were successful in preventing 49ers fans from getting those tickets.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
And money talks. You know what walks.
Yeah. Exactly. So for everybody, thanks again. We'll be here on the air Sunday night, 8:30 p.m. next week. Thank you.
The Profanity Nation is now the official podcast of the Los Angeles Lakers Fan Club on Clubhouse. Be sure to join over 5,000 strong and growing. Also, text LAKERS to 22828 for a chance to win a free t-shirt. Again, text LAKERS to 22828 for a chance to win a free t-shirt.
Profanity Nation. A podcast for the fans, by the fans. Dive deep into the topics the other shows miss, raw and uncensored.
And he's going to play team ball. His legacy is at stake.
Rare, hard-hitting interviews with players, coaches, and you, the super fans.
I'm not hating. I'm like, okay, cool.
Good. Three championships in 5 years. He's more than good, bro.
Profanity Nation. Listen live or subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Powered by Jesse Brown of Keller Williams. Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Stat, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.